RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Spring 1952. The Doomed Millions. The 165th adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. A specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Doomed Millions. Chapter 1. Behind the Curtain. It was dusk when the train came to a halt and the Hungarian border guards swarmed over the platform. Slightly more than 2 miles away was occupied Austria, where American troops looked across a river at Hungarian soldiers and Russian agents, and were in turn also kept under observation. This was where the Iron Curtain fell, and at checkpoints like this town, the curtain is composed of hard-headed, hard-hearted troops who are well-disciplined and completely red. Not many people were on the train. Travel in Hungary was permitted mostly to officials. No one would be foolish enough to take a pleasure trip. And, as for business, all that was attended to by indoctrinated communists. One of the men who got off the train was about 55, a short, stocky individual, with a broad face and eyes that peered from behind thick glasses. There was a certain arrogance about him, though, which the railway station guards quickly recognized. An officer approached him and saluted.
"Are you Fyodor Danowski, comrade?"
"Yes. You will provide me with a car at once, and a driver."
"Of course, Comrade Danowski. We have been expecting you. The director of the prison has cancelled his dinner plans to be on hand to greet you."
"He knows what is good for him," Danowski said sourly. "Well, the car. Do you think I have all night to stay in your stinking town?"
The officer gave orders. 2 soldiers came forward briskly. One picked up the suitcase, the other reached for the 2 briefcases, which Danowski held. The squat Danowski stepped back a pace.
"Idiots! Do you think I would still be holding these attaché cases if they were not important? Where is that car? Such inefficiency!"
The officer tried to calm him, piloted the squat man along the platform and toward an official car. Danowski got into the back seat, clutching both briefcases. He paid no attention to the officer's parting salute. The driver pulled away fast, and a clash of gears and a cloud of dust. He was doing 45 along a city street, completely heedless of pedestrians and cyclists. Life was cheap here, so long as it was the life of a Hungarian. About a mile beyond the city, Danowski saw the towers of what had once been an ancient fortress. He was used to this architecture. It had been turned into a prison because it had looked like a prison in the first place, and for the last few years Danowski had spent most of his time in such places, not as a prisoner, but as a strutting, pompous official. The car stopped at the gates, and again there were guards to pass through. They peered into the car, with the aid of flashlights, came to stiff attention, and one of them shouted a command. The gates opened electrically, and the big car swept on through. The gates closed behind them with a clanging sound.